Praise the Lord. Our God is an awesome God. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Just want to make sure y'all are awake. All right, blink real wide here a few times. All right, everybody's good. Well, tonight we're going to talk about how to exercise authority. And it's important that we understand that authority is service. Authority is service. We, as believers, we are called to serve one another. We're called to pray, to encourage, to intercede, to speak the truth in love. And the question is, what do we do when we see someone's life being stolen from them? What do we do when we see someone's life being stolen from them? You know, Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. In John, 1 John 3:8, we see the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil, to destroy it. Now, Kenneth Hagin, early on in his ministry, he had a vision, and God appeared to him in his vision. And so at the end of the vision, he saw this evil spirit that had come between he and Jesus. And it put a dark cloud there so that he couldn't see Jesus anymore. It was kind of in the way. And the evil spirit began to jump up and down and cry out in a loud voice. And although Jesus was talking to him, he couldn't understand what Jesus was saying because of this thing between them. And Brother Hagin couldn't understand why Jesus was letting the devil do that. And people ask why God lets the devil do things. So Brother Hagin wondered why Jesus didn't rebuke the devil so that he could hear what he was saying. And he waited a few seconds and nothing happened. Then finally he said to the spirit, I command you, foul spirit, to shut up in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he said that, the spirit just fell to the floor and the cloud vanished. And he said, the demon acted like a little dog that had been whipped. And he just whimpered and whined and he wouldn't look at Brother Hagin. So he told the spirit, he says, get out of here. So the spirit just ran off. And then he could see Jesus. And Jesus said, well, if you hadn't done that, I couldn't have. Brother Hagin said, excuse me? What do you mean you couldn't have? Jesus says, no, I said I couldn't. And he said, I know I didn't hear you right, but Brother Hagin was shocked and he was unable to comprehend why the Lord would say that. So he said, I told the Lord, he said, you're going to have to prove to me why you couldn't do that. And I want three scriptures. And Jesus said, I'll give you four. You know, he told Jesus he'd never seen anything like this in Scripture. And Jesus said, there's no place in the New Testament where any writer told the church to pray to God the Father about the devil. People who ask God to rebuke the devil are wasting their time because God says to you to rebuke the devil. You. He said the least member of the body of Christ has just as much power over the devil as any other believer. So no matter how you see yourself, you have enough authority to rebuke the devil. All right. So we are here and to enforce what Jesus has already done. He has defeated the enemy. And so here are the four scriptures that Jesus gave Brother Hagin. Matthew 28:18, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And of course, that means Jesus then delegated it and gave it to the church. He said, I've given you the authority. And then in Mark 16, I'm going to turn this just a little. There we go. He said, and these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will do it. They will cast out. All believers have authority over the devil. They can break the power of the devil over their lives and over the lives of their loved ones. In James 4, verse 7, it says, resist the devil. Of course, just before that, it says, submit to God. Resist the devil. Resist him and he will flee from you. And then the operative word is you. He will flee from you. You are to resist the devil. And when this passage says he will flee, that means he's going to run from you in terror. And it's helpful when we see visuals because we don't seem to forget those things. Somehow we keep these things in our minds. I remember there was a play, and there were a couple of people sitting on a park bench, and there was somebody dressed up as a little demon behind the bench, you know, just doing all kind of ugly things. And so this other friend comes over, and what's going on? Oh, I just feel like I'm just really harassed, and I'm just so confused, and I don't know what to do. And then they said, well, let me pray for you. In the name of Jesus, I just bind that spirit of confusion, and I cast him out, and I tell him to leave you right now in Jesus' name. And that little demon goes, and runs off the stage. And I never forgot that. I mean, it stays with you. You see it, and this is what happens. You know, for those of you back in the, I don't know, the 90s or something, there was a series of books Frank Peretti wrote. There were novels, but it was his imagery of what it's like in the spirit world. And it was this present darkness and piercing the darkness. And I decided, you know, a couple of months ago to pick up the book again and just kind of read through it again. Yeah, it just really incredible. But you have to really get a sense of what you are fighting against in the unknown world to gain courage and strength and confidence and assurance. And so Jesus said, resist the devil. And then also in James, that was in the book of James. And then in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And you've always heard it said, he is like a roaring lion, but Jesus pulled out his teeth. So he just looks scary, but he's just nothing but gums. That's good to know, isn't it? Remind him of that. There was let's look at 1 Peter 5 just a little bit more. You know, we have to realize that your devil is the opponent, not a person in the flesh. Amen. Do you ever have to do that to yourself sometimes? Not a person in the flesh, not a person in the flesh. It's not them, it's not them, it's not them. It's beyond them, it's over them, it's around them, but it's not them. That's right. Also realize the devil's out to get you. He's the enemy of your soul, so get a grip. Amen. Get a grip, okay? Get ready. You got work to do. So in verse 9 says, tells you what you are to do. Don't ask someone else to do what God's equipped you to do. Amen. Resist, stand firm, oppose him back, hold your ground, don't waver. Hannah was waiting for the frog. She likes it. Oh, am I going to see the frog tonight? I said, yeah. Resist the devil. All right, resist in your steady faith, trusting in, believing on that which you know is true. Jesus defeated the devil, and you're here to enforce what's already been done. And I remember when I was still in my house, I have a really good friend that I was in it when I was not out, and I was in a church. This friend of mine, her name is Charlene, she was in the church, and she was kicked out a few times because she was gay, even though she got married, and she was legally married to this man, but the pastor didn't believe her for a minute. But anyway, she ended up getting the left foot of fellowship, and here I was, and I wasn't saying anything to anybody. I was wearing all the hats, working with the pastor. That's another story in itself when I did come out to the pastor. But Charlene and I ran into each other when I ended up in Houston, and there was an MCC gathering, and there she was in her clerical shirt, and here I was in mine, and I go, Charlene, and she goes, Janet, and we just like, whoa. So we have been good friends ever since, and she is a true intercessor, And God really gives her a lot of dreams and a lot of visions. And she called me when I was in my home, and this was after my divorce, and I was really struggling to just pay the mortgage and not even knowing if it was going to be taken out from under me or what. And so she called me, and she said, "Janet, I had a dream." And she said, "I was at your house, and, you know, I was sleeping on the, I have a big sofa couch in the living room, and that's where she was. And she said, I was sleeping, and somebody came and knocked on the door. And I opened the door, and there was this hideous person outside the door. And I knew that something wasn't right about them. And they kept calling for you, and I called for you, but you didn't come. And then finally I said, "What's your name?" And they said, "Destroyer." You know, and she just said, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus," and slammed the door. And she said, "I don't know what this means." I said, "Well, Charlene, I think the enemy's trying to take my home," you know. And so after she shared it with me, I just opened up the front door and I started speaking. I just walked all through the house. I said, "Devil, you got to leave my house now. And I don't care what your plans are, you are not going to take it." And I just, you know, I just rebuked him out the front door and left Foot of Fellowship out the door. Amen. And, you know, she's always, she's really had some incredible visions. And I know I take what she says because she calls and she says, "I know that something's urgent, you know, in this matter." And so, and I really just kept praying about the wisdom of the Lord because it just kept not looking very good. And so I finally realized I need to sell my house. So I got this, my neighbor down the street said, "Oh, I know this wonderful guy. And he's up in age, but he's really good and he can sell your house." So I said, "Well, let me meet him." So he came down, sweetest old Jewish man you'd ever want to meet. And I'm actually forgetting his name. Gosh, let me think. Anyway, we'll call him Eli. Okay, Eli. So Eli's sitting down. He says, "Okay, let's look at put the pencil on the paper, everything on the paper." We did. We put out, "Okay, this is what I need." And so, and I said, he said, "Well, when do you need to have it sold by?" I said, "By 2 weeks." 2 weeks. I said, "Yes, sir. I need it sold in 2 weeks." He said, "Well, okay." And so, you know, he put all the paperwork done. And that day we put a little tag out on the front door and he did the listing. And within 24 hours, I had five offers. And two of them were above the asking price. And one of them was a cash offer. And we could settle right away. And he came back and he said, "I have never," and he was like, he was probably 75 or 80. He says, "I have never seen anything like this." I said, "This was God, Eli. God sold my house. I'm so glad he used you to help me sell my house." And there it was, you know, it was a done deal. But the enemy wanted to take it out from under me. He didn't get to do that. And I know that when God is on the throne, we can resist. So don't give the devil any place. You say, "No, no, no, don't. So that's what the word says. Don't give the devil a chance. If you give him a tiny crack in the door, he'll come in and mess with you, and you'll be sorry you let him in. Colossians says that God has rescued us from the power of darkness and brought us safe into the kingdom of his dear son. It's like going from one country to another. You are moved from a completely different culture and community to one you had never experienced before. That's how drastic light and darkness is. And Satan has no jurisdiction over you, so you need to start acting like it. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
All right. We find in the scriptures that God has put all things under Christ's feet and gave him to the church as supreme Lord over everything. Think about the person in your life that you have felt the most safe with. That if you ever afraid, you could go and you would feel safe or secure. Maybe some of us don't have a person. Maybe it was just God, which is absolute best place to be. But think about that God has placed all things under his feet. So there's not a place in this world that will ever give you the comfort that you can get to be seated with Christ in heavenly places where everything is under his feet. You say, you know, you've heard the expression, well, underneath the circumstances, what are you doing under there? What are you doing under there? That's right. Then you need to go sit next to Jesus in heavenly places and say, I know this circumstance is under your feet. Can you just give me courage and strength? Amen. And I'm going to press through to the other side. I have a friend. You know, we are the body of Christ. We are his hands and his feet. The church is Christ's body, the completion of him who himself completes all things everywhere. What's under his feet is under our feet. I have a friend, Joe. Hannah knows Joe. Joe is amazing. She lives on disability, lives on very little, but has more than you and I can ever imagine. She has an uncanny ability to manage and work the system. I mean, if something breaks, she's out to the manufacturer, and they've got her not only one, but they sent her something else just because they want her to be happy. She knows how to push the buttons and make it work. Well, every pair of shoes she owns, she's got on the bottom of her soles, devil. And she walks and she puts the devil under her feet. She stomps around. She, devil, get out of here. And she tells him where to go and he goes. She's in her 70s, plays her guitar. She lives in a low-income housing unit. It's three floors. She knows everybody in that building. She prayed when everybody, you need to be praying about this. She's ministering to everybody. Everybody in that building knows who Joe is. We call her Miss Joe. But she's got the devil under her feet. So for you and I, it's time to crush the enemy under our feet. Amen. And Jesus said, Satan is the enemy, but know that I have given you more power than he has. I've given you power to crush his snakes and scorpions under your feet. Nothing will hurt you. Well, praise God, Gary. I just now recognized. I said, in the name of Jesus, we just believe for the healing of that leg that was bit by that wasp. In Jesus' name. Let that poison dissipate, be gone, and let your leg return and the pain leave you now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. There was a little chant we used to do at church. It's Romans 16, 19, and 20. And it says, be excellent at what is good. Be innocent of evil. Say that with me. Be excellent at what is good. Be innocent of evil. Again, be excellent at what is good, be innocent of evil. And then the second verse says, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. So be excellent at what is good, be innocent of evil. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. That's Romans 16, 19, and 20. And you can go around the house saying, I'm excellent at what is good, and I'm innocent of evil, and the God of peace, we have crushed Satan under our feet. Hallelujah. It's under your feet. Now remember, we have authority over demon spirits, not human wills. We do have authority over the devil who endeavors to maintain control over the human will. Remember, that's why we have the key to bind and loose. Now, Brother Hagin's brother was bound by the devil, so he prayed for his brother like this. He said, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, I break your power over my brother's life and I claim his deliverance and salvation. That's the kind of prayer you pray over a situation. And then you watch and see what God does, because you have broken that power. You've broken the power of the enemy over your loved one. And now your loved one is free to make a decision, to hear, to receive. You break the power of the enemy. And that's what God calls us to do. God's plan for you is to rule and reign in your life. In your life. No one else is going to rule and reign in your life but you. We're going to reign over circumstances. Notice we're over circumstances. We're not under them. Amen. We reign over poverty, disease, and everything that would hinder you. Yes, everything that would hinder you. You reign because you have authority. Oh, I love that. That looks like a little Burger King, doesn't it? Or a little woohoo. A crown, I mean. There you go. That's the word. I was like, let me share this interesting little story I found. I was looking up sermons on the authority of the believer, because I was looking up stories about authority. And so this one Pastor Chip Ingram is his name. He shares this story in his sermon, and he said, in Santa Cruz, there's a strip called Pacific Avenue, and there's a number of bars. And I remember walking down Pacific Avenue, and it was getting a little rowdy. And there were two or three very burly guys in tight T-shirts that looked like they could kill you. They were very tall and very large, and if they weren't on steroids, then they were pumping a lot of iron. He said, I would not mess with these guys. And there was a bouncer outside the club who was trying to get things under control. These guys were drunk, and they were getting out of control, so they called the police. I just happened to be walking by when all of this was happening, and a police car pulls up, and I'm thinking, I'd like to watch this and see what happens. So I stand over out of the way and see how this is going to play out, and so help me. The door opens, and guess who steps out of the cop car to handle these big, burly guys? The door closes, and a 4'11" female police officer steps out. And I'm thinking to myself, if I was trying to get these big, burly, drunk guys under control, I would hope for a 6'5" weightlifting police officer, not a 4'11" woman. And so I thought, I got to watch how this whole thing plays out. And he said, I couldn't have been more wrong, because, you know, the issue is not your size or your strength. The issue is your authority and your power. Amen. Listen carefully as I share what happened. This very confident 4'11" officer walks out. Gentlemen, do we have a problem here? No, we're good here. Get out of here. Excuse me. And she had this badge on, you know, right here. I'm authorized by the Santa Cruz County to enforce the law. I'd like both of you to know that. Understand? Right now, over here, against the car. You understand? And they both started to balk a little bit. She put her hand on a revolver. It was a 45. And you know what? I've never seen two big, strong, drunk guys get so sober and move so fast. And I thought to myself, I think she might use it. And pretty soon I see this 4'11" woman say again to the two guys, spread them out. You know why? Because she had a badge. She had a position of authority that says, I have all the rights and authority vested in me to exercise that. You must do what I say. And if there's any problem with that, I have some power on my leg that can force it immediately. You know, a story like that, you know, might make us smile just a little. But that's how we have to treat the devil. Amen. That's exactly how we have to treat the devil. We don't mess with him. We don't mess with him. We let him know who's in charge. You are a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Your badge is your position in Christ. And you have on your side the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Oh, and demons must believe and obey and respond to the authority of every child who takes the word of God and speaks it out to specific issues. What you have to do is claim who you are and act on this, because it's true, and they have to obey. Amen. So we put on the whole armor You know it. But we never tire of hearing. The breastplate covers your heart. It's your righteousness of God in Christ, isn't it? The belt of truth. It holds all things together. Holds your pants up, you know. By the power of His Word, your Word is truth. So God's truth holds us all together. The shield of faith, it's invincible. Everything that comes against it, the fiery darts are put out every time. And then we've got the helmet of salvation. We are to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The renewing of our minds, filling you with wisdom and knowledge so you are ready and equipped. And you've got your feet prepared with the gospel, always ready to go to give an answer for the hope that's within you. And the sword of the Spirit, that's your offensive weapon. It's alive, it's powerful, and it's sharp. Now, the Apostle Paul's instruction for our spiritual authority boot camp. He says, be strong in the Lord and in His great power. Wear the full armor. Wear it so you can fight against the devil's clever tricks. You know, the song, I love the song. I know we didn't get to sing it, but we sang it this morning, though. Let the weak say, I am strong. That's what Paul says. Be strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. And then two of the verses say, into the river I will wade. There my sins are washed away. From heaven's mercy streams of the Savior's love for me. I will rise from waters deep into the saving arms of God. I will sing salvation songs. Jesus Christ has set me free. You know, that's sometimes we sing our way into strength. We pray our way into strength. We walk our way into strength. Whatever it is that activates you, do it. Get up off your blessed assurance and do it. Let's put it mildly, huh? That's what we want to do. The Apostle Paul goes on to say, our fight is not against people, once again. We are fighting against the rulers of the darkness, the powers of the world's darkness, the spiritual powers of evil in heavenly places. So put on the whole armor so you can stand strong. I'll never forget the testimony of this young woman in Taiwan. And you know, it wasn't Ann Pei and it wasn't Faith, and I can't remember her name. She was a little bitty thing, though, just a very petite person. And her father was a temple priest, and they had a temple on the ground floor, and then they lived upstairs. And she had to walk through the temple every time she would come home at night. And they had I went through many, many, many of the temples over there, and they are freaky-looking gods. There is not one that has any sense of any peace at all. They are all scary. And this young girl just lived couldn't sleep at night. She had stomach issues. She was in turmoil all the time. And it frightened her every time she had to walk through the temple. Well, she found her way to the church, True Life. And so she got saved. She found Jesus. They not only led her to Christ, but they empowered her. They taught her her authority in Christ. They told her about the armor of God. And so she would go home, and she would walk in that temple. And she'd say, look at those, you nothing but wood, ha ha. And she'd say that to all those idols that were there in the temple. And she would just walk through praising God and go upstairs and sleep like a baby. She said her stomach issues went away, her fear was gone, and she had peace again and could rest. And that's because she acted. She acted on what she learned and who she became as a believer in Christ. So the Apostle Paul says, stand strong. You know, we can't say that enough. Stand strong. If you give in and yield, you're going to crater. And there's no reason for that. And, you know, when remember when Moses was interceding? He had Aaron and Hur. I don't know what she was doing there, but she was on the other side, Aaron and her, and they were holding up Moses' arms while he was praying. And as he would pray and intercede, the battle would be won. But as soon as his arms came down, they would start losing. So he had to have support. So we need support. We are a community. We have to stand with one another. And you say, please, will you be praying for me about this situation? Will you be praying with me over this need? So now that the armor is on, now that the armor is on and that the sword is in your hand, the word of God, then we are called. It becomes more and more evident. I pray this prayer every morning over my family, over my children. I pray it, and my list just keeps growing and growing. And I said, I got to keep getting up earlier and earlier because the list is getting longer and longer. There's more and more people. And then I just start praising God when prayers start getting answered, people start getting well, and things start getting much better. So I keep putting on the armor every day, then I realize I put on the armor and get ready because that's when I pull the sword and start to pray. You see, I'm fully equipped from head to toe, then I pull the sword, and that's when I start, because the sword is when you start speaking it out. That's your offense, and you start directing it to everything because it is alive and it is powerful. Okay, so it says, pray in the Spirit at all times. Pray with all kinds of prayers and ask for everything you need. I mean, I've got the list. Ding, 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 ding. Thank you. And then once I mention the list, and the next day I'll go back and say, thank you, God, for this. Thank you that you've given this. I praise you for this. And I keep saying that again and again and again until I hear this is working. I'm believing for a friend of mine who lost both of her kidneys. She's lost her eyesight. She lost her kidney. She's had open heart surgery. She's diabetic. She's and recently her kidney started failing her that she'd had for 20 years. And I just said, God, we prayed her right out of death back into life. And she's now on long-term dialysis. But I said, I'm praying for that kidney to rally, and it's going to come forth, and it's going to live again, and it's going to start doing its work. So I'm speaking to all the different functions of the kidney, telling it to start cooperating and filtering and doing your job again. And I declare that it's going to happen in Jesus' name. You know, and I just pray that every day for my friend. So you have to pray always and never give up. How persistent are you? How persistent are you? Always pray for all of God's people. We speak it out. We pray the word. We pray that we can pray the Lord's Prayer. We can pray other printed prayers. You can go on the computer and just find all kinds of wonderful prayers that have been prayed over circumstances. And sometimes I say, I need a little variety in my praying. So then I start looking up other things, and I need to join with other people who are praying for this thing just as I am. Pray God's promises. Pray in the Spirit. You've got the sword. Why pray the Word of God? Why? Because it's alive. It's working. It is more discerning than the scalpel of a surgeon. It is more discerning. And it can get down to the very root of what needs to be exposed. God's word goes to the root. It exposes and it heals and it reveals. So you want something that can go and discern to what it judges the thoughts and intents of the heart. And also we find that the word works. The word works. Isaiah 55 says, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that for which I purpose. And shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Prayer activates the armor. Prayer is the key that unlocks the door. I'm going to lock up the devil, and I'm going to loose the people who need to be free to make a choice. Amen. I don't know how many of you need visuals, but we have keys for you. And you're going to use this key as a reminder. When you pray, you're going to have your key right there. Put it inside your sword. You're going to have your key. You're going to have it visible. Today I'm binding and I'm loosing.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Show me what I'm to bind. Show me what I'm to loose.
Amen.
But I'm your person today. God said, I have come to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's right. So before you pray, ask God to reveal what's needed. You need to know. If you don't know, if someone says, I need you to pray for me, pray for what? Give me specifics. I want to know what I'm praying for. What do you need? You know, my friend said, I'm having trouble breathing, so I need to pray for your lungs. Yes. Do they know what the diagnosis is? What is the situation? What are we praying for? Are we praying? Do they need wisdom and knowledge to diagnose, to recognize? The more specific information we have, the more we can pray specifically, and God will know exactly what to do. I think a few of you, I told this, but my sister-in-law, a little over a month ago, she's in remission from MS, and she was sitting in a recliner on Saturday. My brother's a pastor, and that's his wife. They work as an incredible team. Their youngest daughter just left for work, and she was sitting there, and she said to herself, I think I'm having a stroke. She's 58. She texted her daughter, and her daughter called the ambulance. They were 5 minutes away. They got her to the hospital right away. They did whatever scan they needed to do. They knew she was bleeding, and so they put a drain in right away, got the pressure off the back of her head, and that's where the bleed was, at the base of her brain. And then they transferred her right over to the trauma hospital. The neurosurgeon was waiting. She went in for 5 hours of surgery. It was an arterial venous malformation, just a big conglomerate of purposeless vessels that just ruptured. And they said, you've had this since birth. Surprising, it never caused a problem. And then they removed the whole thing. They put a drain in, and then they tried to clamp off the drain to see if her head could handle any additional swelling, but fluid. And she had a seizure, and then she just kind of went non-responsive again. And then she was in ICU for 3 weeks. And we just prayed. We had a Facebook page. We had incredible, incredible prayers going up. I was texting my brother every day just saying, okay, what do we need today? What do we need today? What do we need today? And people were just very, very specific. She's in rehab. She finally passed the swallowing test. She can now eat. She had a peg tube in her stomach to feed her. And she's walked 150 feet with her walker. She's on the therapist say, you'll be home in 3 weeks. You know, just a miracle. But prayer, 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 prayer. You know, and just, I mean, the list, it just seemed like the list just kept building and building. And it was just like, and I'd go in this direction, I'd pray for this one and that one. And, you know, it's exciting to watch God at work do mighty, miraculous things. So you need to know and reveal what's needed, what the problems are, what are the hindrances, what are the obstacles, what are the challenges. Write them down. Pastor D, you've given them many a prayer journal or many a journal, right? Or many a notebook. So they probably got one. You probably got an empty one at home somewhere. Right? Is that possible? Okay, that's good. That's good. That's all right. You know, God believes in new beginnings every day. So there is no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. Just pick up the notebook. Now you have a purpose for it. And you're going to start logging in and writing down and keeping a prayer journal. And we have a few little sheets in the back of this notebook, and we're going to actually start on those tonight. And now you ask God to show you what needs to be bound and loosed, locked and unlocked, however you want to call it. You want to find God's solutions for His promises. So we're going to practice praying in faith, praying with authority by the power of His Word. And then once you've prayed, believe that you have what you asked for. Hallelujah. I'm praising you, God, already for what you've done.
Yes.
And I thank you in advance. And I know that you are a good God and you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or imagine. And remember, we stand in faith. We thank God. Remember, God's word never returns void. You can't ever say that scripture enough, you know. You have to just say it again and again. And then let me just share this with you. Stay faithful to your confessions. Yes. So now I'm going to talk to you about your high priest of your confessions. I got a little devotion I want to share real quick with you. You know, the high priest of your confessions. So what are your confessions? All right, the scripture, let me write this down. Hebrews 3, chapter 3, verse 1. It says, therefore, and as my pastor growing up used to say, well, make note what it's there for. Therefore, brothers and holy brothers and sisters, holy brothers and sisters, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and the high priest of our confession. Very few believers today understand the mystery of the apostleship and the priesthood of Jesus. We think an apostle is some kind of super saint, but really the word apostle means sent one. And Jesus has been sent from God to do something for us. So he's been sent to serve as our high priest. A lot of people don't know what a high priest does. May they picture a person walking around with strange clothes on performing religious rituals. But in reality, a high priest is much more than that. He's one who is authorized to administer, to execute, to implement, and to carry into effect. I know I should have put this on a slide. This is actually in your handout under one of the daily devotions, okay? Everything I'm sharing right here. Now, you may wonder what it is that Jesus is authorized to administer, execute, or carry out on your behalf. Hebrews 3:1 says that Jesus is the high priest of our confession. Amen. He's been sent to put into effect, to execute, and to carry out the words that you and I say. But chances are, you've been speaking what you feel instead of speaking words of faith. If, for example, you're speaking sickness, what's he going to do with that? He's not high priest over sickness. He can't execute that. If you're saying, I'm so weak, I'm so tired, he can't carry that out. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. And the minute you say that, Jesus can administer strength. Yes. Are you getting it?
Yes.
You say, thank you, Jesus, for you have removed this fever from me and I am well. Yes. And my temperature is normal. You are the healer of my body. You have to learn how to pray for the things. Thank you, Jesus, that my ankle, is it your ankle? That my ankle is returning to its normal size, that all poison that has been thrown against me through this bite of this, Hannah calls it the minion of the devil, is gone, is being dissipated and removed from my body now. In Jesus' name. And so we began to speak. Jesus is not going to administer sickness or disease or poverty or sin. He's defeated that. He is the high priest of deliverance and righteousness and freedom. So we are to speak words that the high priest, the Almighty, can implement. He can do something with words of victory.
Amen.
Now that sounds like I could preach. I think I did that, huh? Okay. Remember that you are praying for what you do not yet see. Isn't that faith?
Yes.
That's faith. All right. You see, the land promised to Abraham incorporated so much more than the small sliver of land today called Israel. It includes all of Jordan, all of Lebanon, and most of Syria. You see, God told Abraham, you're going to be a father. Your son, he said, before Abraham even had his son to be a nation, God said, you're going to be the father of many nations. All right. God gives life to the dead and speaks of things that don't exist as if they are real. And that's what we do in faith. We speak to things that are not yet. And Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's right. It's the substance of things hoped for. There you go. The evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. Well, it's time to exercise our spiritual authority. Now, I believe we've been assigned groups. Does everybody know their group assignment? All right. Now, I'm going to just, let me go through this real quick with you. In your notebook, there's a handout called a prayer list. It's just a list where you can write names, you can write needs, you can put the date, today's date, on those needs. You're going to write the circumstances that need prayer. You're going to be specific. Now, how many of you own some kind of a God's Promise pocketbook or little book or something, you know? It's a great way to start because I also put in your handout here, we're going to go through some of this once we get into our groups. Actually, maybe I should just go through everything before we break into our groups. Would that work better, I think? And you're going to write down a scripture or a promise for your prayer request. And maybe if as we are in groups, if you can't think of one, somebody in the group probably will have a word or a scripture for you to stand on. And we're going to each, just write down a few needs, even if you just start with one, two, or three. And you're going to start learning how to pray with authority, with the Word of God, and just begin to test and see. God is going to be faithful to His Word over your prayer needs. Now, what I want you to do is turn, I guess we'll go past the very last teaching. Is that where it is in the book? Oh, is it after tonight's teaching? Pray with authority. Okay, turn to praying with authority. Right at the end of tonight's slides. Was that an echo in the room? All right. Everybody got there? All right. Now, when you pray with authority, you make it personal for yourself or insert the person's name you are praying for. So when you pray the Word of God, you pray with the person's name. You trust God to reveal what is needed for this person. So what may happen as you begin to pray for them is God may show you something else in the Spirit that they may need. And one thing for sure is that God's revelation will change a person's heart and life. When you pray the Word of God over someone, something happens to them. And there are many, many stories, many people share stories of praying, just some of the blessed prayers. And one of them here is just right here below. But as you pray, remember that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. We have to believe that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, which lets me think that we're just not doing enough asking. And we live by faith. What the Word says, not by sight, what circumstances and the world and everything around us dictates to us. What our eyes and our senses see is not where it ends. All right, so here's like a suggested prayer in Ephesians. If you want to pray for salvation, for wisdom and understanding for a person, here is a beautiful prayer. Then there's a prayer right below it for God's plans and purposes to be fulfilled. And I'm telling you, when you go through these prayers and you pray these prayers over your loved ones or your friends and whoever God puts on your heart, you are going to begin and you stay faithful to that until you see the evidence of what you have spoken. And then the prayer to walk with godly people and have a fruitful life. Blessed, you know, I just pray over my children. I pray for their friends. If I know their names, I pray for their friends, that their lives will be good, that they will be blessed. I want everybody to be blessed. Yes. who is in my family and wherever we go with the people we meet. And then you can pray for your family, the salvation of your family. And turn the page, and then there's a prayer in Isaiah 11, verse 2. Prayer for God's anointing upon your loved one. And maybe someone is even if they're starting a new job, God, that you would anoint them and give them the knowledge and the wisdom they need for that job, that they will be just fabulous at the work they do, and they will be promoted in what they do. And they will be honored and revered there in their jobs. And then you pray for, in Colossians, Paul's prayer for the future life of your loved one. You know, they're beautiful prayers you can pray for every kind of situation. And then at the bottom of the page, if you're without words to pray, then you pray in the Spirit. My mother is a wonderful prayer warrior. She's soon to be 90 in December. And she'll call me, "How's everything? I need to know what I need to pray for." Every morning she's up. And she's praying. She's in her chair and she's praying. You know, she said, "Janet, sometimes I you know," she had a mild stroke a few years ago. But my mother is phenomenal. I mean, she had a total hip done in December. She's walking without anything. She cooks Sunday lunch for all the family up there in Shreveport. I mean, she is amazing. And she said, "Sometimes, you know, I just get a little overwhelmed with some of the things you've asked me to pray for, so I just pray in the Spirit." I said, "Perfect. Perfect. We're getting exactly what we need." But she just gets thrilled when I call and say, "Oh," I said, "I got a praise report. Ooh," you know, and she just like, "Oh, I'm so glad to hear that." So we have to rejoice in what the Lord does in our lives. And then on the next page are healing scriptures that we can pray. Just a whole list of passages that can be prayed for healing. Now, I know that, I don't know how many of you have a copy of Beth Moore's book called Praying God's Word. Absolutely, phenomenally a must have, because she addresses many, many topics that have been in all of your lives, all, you know, in my life. It's like she doesn't leave a stone unturned. And I think I shared with you at one point just dealing with some unforgiveness toward my family, my parents, my siblings, just about, you know, being gay and how God took me through that. And this book was what led me through that. Took me 3 months getting up at 5 every morning and just coming before the Lord and just getting all the poison out. You know, unforgiveness is poison. It'll kill you. And so when you get that out, and God's Word shows you how to get it out. And it's fabulous. It is a workbook, a necessity to have in your arsenal. And then flip over, you have the praying God's promises, praying God's Word. I just found this recently, just last week. I think just before I sent everything over for the weekend. And this is a man who has spent his life teaching on prayer, Dick Eastman, and so this is an amazing guide. And all I did was just print out a little bit, but it gives you find the promise that fits your need in your prayers. And there's an answer for every situation. There's a promise for that job you need, promise for the guidance you're seeking. And then I have a whole list down here. Do you lack joy? Read Philippians. Do you want more faith? Read Hebrews. Are you suffering? Study 1 and 2 Peter. Are you tempted? Dig into Matthew 4 and Luke 4. So everything, boom, 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 boom. We are not to be without resources. Amen. But you must use them. Yes. And if you get lazy and you want somebody else to come and pray, we're not in the ministry of referrals. You know how to do it. Where is that? It was like, I like to read, my sister gave me a book of devotions by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. And he was sharing, he said, I had prayed for this woman and she was healed of cancer. Glory to God. I showed her in the Word. I showed her the Scriptures. I showed her what to pray and believe and stand on and confess and walk in every day. And she did that. And she said, Brother Copeland, I have been healed in Jesus' name. The reports are clear. I am clean. And then he said it was, several years later, he hadn't heard from her. And he gets his call. Brother Copeland, that cancer's come back again. And he said, well, where's your Bible? And he said, I could hear somebody in the background saying, where's my Bible? Do you know where it is? And he says, right away I knew she had just thrown the Word out, forgotten, didn't do it. And so he takes her back and he leads her back to the passages again and he prays with her. He says, but I knew it was going to be short-lived. And this was going to take her because she didn't have the stamina. She didn't have the diligence to hang in there and to keep going. And you and I have to keep going.
Amen.
We got to be the little engine that could. I think I can. I think I can. And then after it's over, I thought I could. I thought I could. I thought I could. Did y'all ever read that book? Did y'all ever read that book?
Yes.
All right. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. I am, but that's all right. Now, we're going to get into our groups, and what I would like to do, I want to give everybody a key. All right? Why don't y'all come up first? We'll do it table by table, okay? Come on. Heather, why don't you come with your family? Come on up here with your family. Come on, girl. Maybe I should get Kay and Karina. Y'all want to come up? Godparents? Come on. All right. And we've got keys.
Amen.
And you know, I just believe in the name of Jesus, these are not just any ordinary keys.
Amen.
But these are a symbol of the authority God's given you as believers, Josh, in Jesus. You can stomp the devil. Okay? All right, and this is the key. This is your key, Josh, to bind and to loose in Jesus' name. Isabel, your key to bind and loose in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Your key to bind and loose in Jesus' name. Your key to bind and loose in Jesus' name. Your key to bind and loose in Jesus' name. Your key to bind and loose in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, who's next? Come on up here. All right, come on, Glade, Jay, Brandy, come on up here. All right. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Glade, this is your key to bind and loose in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Jay, your key to bind and loose in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Brandy, your key to bind and loose in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Come on up, Maggie, Tony, Frina. All right. Woo! It's hot up here. It's hot up here. All right, Maggie, your key to bind and loose in Jesus' name. Tony, your key to bind and loose in Jesus' name. Frina, your key to bind and loose in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Glory to God. All right. Got another table back there. Come on up. All righty, righty, righty. Vroom, vroom, vroom. That's right. That's right. You can just go to town. All right. Summer. Your key to bind and loose in Jesus' name. That's right. Renee, your key to bind and loose in Jesus' name. Penny, your key to bind and loose in Jesus' name. Rue, your key to bind and loose in Jesus' name. All right. Kay, All right, who's next? Hannah, come on up here, girl. Give me your hand. Your key to bind and loose in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, come on, Kyle. Gary, come on up here. Hallelujah. Woo! Is it getting better already? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Kyle, your key to bind and loose in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Gary, your key to bind and loose in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Pastor D, come on up here. As they say on the TV shows, come on down. Woo! Hallelujah. Pastor D, your key to bind and loose in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen. All right. Now, I know we might have some that stepped out and not here, but we got plenty for tomorrow. What you need? Yeah.
Pastor Janet, your key to bind and loose in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Amen. All right. It's in the back pocket. I bought pants that didn't have front pockets. I'm going to write him a letter. I thought there were pants. There were a thing right here, and I started a chair, and it was like, that's a long pocket. That wasn't a pocket. Anyway, it's in my back pocket. I got it.
Do you want this since you have a microphone?
Yes. Okay. We are going to take our, and let me just, I know tonight, let's see, what is it? 8:45? Okay. We're good. Consider this your little mini boot camp of praying in authority.
Yes.
Your little mini boot camp. We tried to put you in groups so we feel like you can help one another. Mm-hmm. And you're going to just start out with a couple of prayer requests. But you're going to write the need. And you're each going to maybe just start with one prayer request so that everybody has a chance to speak to their prayer need. And you're going to say, here's the need. Now, what part of the word, what word of God would I speak to this need? And then you're going to put the person's name and pray the word over that person. Okay? And then you're going to move to the next person. So everybody take time whenever you get in your groups to write down your person, the need, and if you know a scripture, but you're going to help one another. And I've got God's promise book up here. I've got things. I'm going to be in a group, but I am willing to help with anybody that needs assistance. All right, we have a group. Corina, where's your group going to be?
Back here in the corner, that's all right.
Yeah, as long as everybody's got a seat. They got to get a seat. Okay, and Corina's group is Kyle. And let's see, Guy's not here, huh? Guy's not here. Brandy, you're with Corina. And Joshua, where is Josh?
He's right there.
Yep, there you are. All right, so you're with Corina. Jody, you have a group right here.
Right here.
All right, we've got Maggie, we got Hannah, we have Renee and Penny right here. All right, Kay, where's your group?
Up there.
You're going to be up here in this, up right up here. Okay, over here, Kay's group is Glade and Frina and Tony and Isabella. All right, Pastor D, you got a group right back over there. All right, Pastor D has Gary and Rob and Heather and Nathan. But I think it's just going to be, looks like Gary and Heather, huh? Because Rob's not here and Nathan either. Okay. All right, and I've got a group. Let's see. Jay, you're in my group. And Rue, you're in my group. Let's meet where Jay is right here with Summer. You're right here.